So I sat down one day, I grabbed some music that I wanted the kids to do, and I opened up to a scripture, just so happened to be Luke 24, and had this other book that has children's sermons and different things in it, and it happened to be open to the reading that Caitlin did for us earlier. And we had Carl Statz, who will be coming up later to talk to us about Operation Christmas Child, which is a ministry mission. And I thought, you know, I guess missions is what's on the brain today. So maybe I should look into doing something about missions. Trying to come up with a title. Wasn't sure what to think about. Mission impossible, mission possible. We don't want to say something is impossible, because when it comes to Christ, we should be able to do anything. It should all be possible. So I started with the basics, and I looked up the definition of a mission. A mission is a job or task that is assigned to a person to carry on discussions or to provide training or assistance. Sometimes we can complicate what missions are. It's stated clearly that it is an assigned job or a task. I got to thinking about Mission Impossible, the movie. Some of y'all may have seen Tom Cruise is in it. I think there's about maybe 3 or 4 movies out, and I know there's another one coming out next year. There was also Mission Impossible that was a television show, which is what the movies are based on. Came out in the 60s. Some of you may have watched it. Jim Phelps was the main character. He was a special agent. And it was about a spy. It had a lot of mystery and excitement, and it always began the same way. Special Agent Jim Phelps would receive a tape-recorded message which said, "Jim, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is..." And then it would give him an assignment which seemed impossible to accomplish. Of course, he always accepted the assignment. He would then choose a group of agents, each one with a special talent, who would help him to accomplish his mission. As you might guess, the secret agents of the Impossible Mission Force were always able to complete their mission. So when we became Christians, what mission was assigned to us? In Luke 24, 46 through 48, Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So we are to preach the gospel in all the nations. Is this mission one that seems impossible? You and I have been given this mission by Jesus. Our mission is to tell the whole world about Jesus' love and forgiveness. Now, that would seem an impossible mission for a group of young people, group of kids, but it isn't. We don't have to do it alone. We have a church. The church is here for us. We know what church is like. We all come here. We come to love on each other. We come to support each other. We're here for each other. If I were to come up to anybody in this room and say I needed help with something, they're always willing to help in some way or another. It may be something that I can't do on my own, but if I came to them, maybe they have special talents or something that they can help me. And when we work together, we accomplish what the goal is. That's how Christ's kingdom works. So the church is like the impossible mission force. It is made up of many people. And they are there to help us. I encourage the kids to share their faith with others. I tell them when they go to school, you know, they live their lives the way that Jesus lived his. They're to be the example for others, those that aren't church, those that don't know Jesus' love. They don't have to talk about church if they live their life the way that Jesus asked them to do. Our actions should be a testimony as well as what we say. If we are sharing Jesus' love and ministry through the way that we live, then we are reaching people that we don't even realize. We are planting a seed for the Holy Spirit to cultivate. This past year, our group, the Kids with a Mission, or SPLASH, which is on Sunday, we have been mission-minded. Last year, we were able to send 10 boxes to Operation Christmas Child, just as a group, not including what we did with our families at home. We also went and sang last Christmas to the nursing homes. We have 3 in our area, and the children worked very hard to go and share Jesus' love through song. And we liked that so much that in the Easter, we went back to those same nursing homes and we shared an Easter message with those that aren't able to get out and come to church. We've also sent encouraging words to those that have been sick or unable to be with us, had surgeries. We've sent different things out to them, encouraging words and things. We raised money recently. We did the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and the kids brought money and raised awareness for that, as well as gave to the cause. And other things that we've done, and we're planning on doing the same things this year, only even more. We have a goal this year of doing 15 boxes with our group to give to Operation Christmas Child. And we will be starting on our Christmas music before too long so we can go back to the nursing homes and sing for those people again. No matter what the mission is, we have been dedicated to helping others. And as I just said, through prayers, songs, encouragement, and giving. But the most important lesson that I can teach the kids is to live their lives the way that Jesus did, as I just said. To continue to show the love of Jesus to others. That's the best way that people can learn about him. His ministry or mission was all about serving people all around us who might not be able to help themselves. But maybe they're out of work or they're hurt. We need to notice these people and reach out to them. We should be looking out in our families, in our church, in our community, and in our world for those in need. We need to reach out to them by giving money, canned goods, clothing, a shoebox, or maybe just kind and encouraging words. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4. So this is our mission as a believer in Christ. And if we choose to accept our mission, then mission impossible becomes mission possible. So my question to all of you is, are you willing to accept your mission? If you will, bow your heads. Lord, you have given us our mission. May each of us be willing to accept our mission and tell others about your love and forgiveness in whatever capacity we are able. We thank you for entrusting us with the work that is so important, and we ask you to give us the strength, courage, and wisdom to complete it according to your will. Amen.
And I was excited earlier in the summer to get the invitation to come and be with you all this morning from Janet Montgomery, who has been our faithful drop-off box location coordinator for a number of years, but also from Reverend Blankenship and from Mrs. Flippy. Is that the way you pronounce it? Flippy. We just are so thankful to be able to be with you this morning. I don't know about you, but my heart's already been blessed. Just to see the participation of the children this morning, the songs that they presented was just a tremendous blessing to my heart. So as far as I'm concerned, I could leave right now and I'd be good. But I want the children in particular, as we go through the presentation today, to look for other children who are doing exactly the same thing that you just did, only halfway around the world. This past May, I had an opportunity to go on a shoebox distribution trip to the Philippines. And for those of you that are familiar with world geography, that's halfway, literally halfway around the world. And so we had a great time. It was called a harvest distribution trip. And as you see there on the screen, a Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child call to ministry is good news and great joy. And actually, it was interesting that you chose Luke this morning as your passage, because that actually comes from Luke. It comes a little bit earlier on in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, where the angels have come on the birth of Jesus, have come to the shepherds in the field and say, "We come bringing you," what? "Good news of great joy." And of course, that was that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem that day and would begin his life and his ministry, ultimately his death. And thank goodness his resurrection that provides the hope for us today that we just saw witnessed by this young lady as she was baptized. And again, for me, it's been a tremendous morning already. Now, we're going to try this. Hopefully, this will work. Sometimes I'm a little There we go. All right, a little bit about the Philippines. We went in Central Philippines and Cebu Philippines. Philippines is kind of divided north, central, and south. We were in what we refer to as the Central Philippines in Cebu Island. There are 7,000 islands that make up the Philippines. Within that, there are 7 major ethnic groups, 8 major dialects, plus English. It's interesting that English is actually what's taught in their schools. However, we found that most of the time, when they spoke in their own dialect, which is interesting because someone from northern Philippines may not be able to understand someone from the central Philippines or southern Philippines because of the difference in dialects. Police officers typically will learn 3 or 4 different dialects that they can speak just to be able to communicate as they do their job. One-third of the population of all the Philippines is children from birth to 14 years old. Now, if you're familiar at all with Operation Christmas Child, those are the target ages. And in the Philippines alone, that's 37 million children that would qualify to get a shoebox. To put that in perspective, last year, worldwide, 10 million shoeboxes about were collected. So if we were to have sent all of those shoeboxes just to the Philippines, only one-third of the eligible children would have received those shoeboxes. And no one else in the world would have been able to have gotten them. So as you can see, there is a tremendous need, not only in the Philippines to receive shoeboxes, but also around the world as we go to over 100 different countries to deliver shoeboxes to children. One of the things that most people don't realize is that the children that received a shoebox this year, the churches, will not be eligible to receive a shoebox again for another 7 years. And that's simply because of quantity. They would love to be able to give them out every year, but they can't because there's just not enough quantity coming in. About 20% of the children from birth to 5 years old are underweight. It's a condition that's referred to as wasting, and basically it's due to malnutrition and lack of appropriate medical care. There is a lot of poverty, a lot of poor education, a lot of poor health benefits that are available in the Philippines. And so many of the children are suffering from this condition that, again, called wasting. And for 15 to 24-year-olds, the unemployment rate is 16%. I was amazed. We landed actually in the Philippines at midnight, we're making our way from the airport to the hotel. And I was amazed at how many children, I'm talking about children no older than these, children are walking the streets at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. There's just nowhere for them to go. There's a lot of poverty. You're going to see some of that in just a minute as we go through these slides. Also, to point out before we get started is that probably 95% at least of the children that you'll see in these pictures are unchurched. These pastors that were in these various communities that had churches went out to the local community, invited these children to come in for this special event that was going to take place. And so when you see these numbers, 150 and 200 children at these shoebox distributions, those are children that do not have any church affiliation. So we're not giving out shoeboxes to like the children here. These are the children that would be out within the community. And for many of these, this is their first introduction to the love of God and to his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we call all these shoeboxes gospel opportunities. Because for many of these children, most of these children that receive these shoeboxes, they have no idea who God is, no idea who Jesus is. And so as these shoeboxes are handed out to them, that becomes the doorway, really, not only to bless them and bring joy into their lives immediately, but also hopefully eternally as they become more familiar with Jesus and what he can do for their lives. This is sort of a typical in-town and out-of-town photo. The one on the left would be sort of what you would see in where we were at in Cebu. A lot of these little small shops, and they're just like packed, you know, side to side. I mean, there's like no available space in between. Of course, there are some of the larger buildings, hotels and things like that. But by far, this is pretty much what you see. The one on the right, it's a little hard to see. It would be a typical home. Their homes are probably no bigger than most of our bedrooms. You know, you're looking at houses that are probably 10 by 12, 15 by 15, something like that, for an entire family. Most of the cooking is done outside. As you can see, perhaps in that picture there, the clothes are hanging out on clotheslines. That was a very common thing to see as we went through the various villages and the towns as we went along our roadways. A lot of the land is owned by the government. As we get a little bit further in the presentation, I'm going to show you some pictures of what's referred to as a squatter community. Basically, these people move into government-owned land, set up a little town, little village, and that's where they live. If the government ever decided they wanted that property back, they would just bring in the bulldozers and knock down whatever was there and take it back over. Fortunately, that hasn't happened too often. Okay, I was a part of a group of about 100 individuals, 70 of which were volunteers like myself. I'm what's referred to as a 12-month volunteer. I don't receive any pay from Operation Christmas Child. It's simply my way of giving back to Christ and to minister in this way. Janet is also a 12-month volunteer. There's about 20-some on our team right now in the New River Valley. And so the teams, there were seven teams that went, divided up into 10 volunteers, two paid staff with Operation Christmas Child, and then we also had with us individuals from the Philippines. Now, we had Pastor Dino Loguin and his wife Sunshine that accompanied our team as we went out to the various distributions. Pastor Dino is in charge of church relations in the northern Cebu area, and so he's over about 400 churches in making sure that things are coordinated as far as getting the shoe boxes and follow-up ministry with them. So he's got a tremendous task over there in that particular area of the Philippines. The gray team, we were part of the gray team. We sort of joked, is it the gray team or the silver team for the color of our hair? But not all of us had gray hair like I do. So, but it was the gray team. We just had a great time together. So this was the area that we were pretty much concentrated in, the Cebu City area, Lapu-Lapu City, and Cordova, which is kind of on the upper part of the Cebu Island area. Bohol Island is the adjacent island, and the interesting thing about Bohol Island that about 3 weeks before the typhoon went through, they had a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, which did significant damage to structures on Bohol Island, but also affected the adjacent island of Cebu. It was pretty much forgotten because of the extreme damage that was done by the typhoon that went across the northern Philippines. We were able to go to 5 shoebox distributions in Cebu and Bohol Island. The neat thing about Bohol was it was the first time ever that shoeboxes had been taken to Bohol Island. And we were able to actually go to 2 distributions on that island. About 850 shoeboxes were distributed by our gray team, about 7,000 total by all 7 teams. We were also able to visit a Greatest Journey class, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, and then also watch a Greatest Journey graduation. So this was the first church that we went to, actually on Cordova, and there was 200 children, 150 children at this one. And this is pretty much a typical church picture, the upper left-hand corner. The children, are sitting on the floor waiting for the event to take place. The churches would be single-story typically. They would not have windows. They would just be like grating across the windows. And if you were lucky in the facilities, they had fans. There's no air conditioning or anything like that available. And so you prayed that there was going to be a breeze blowing and that the fans were going to be like where you were sitting. Literally, inside these buildings, temperatures probably reached 100 degrees easily, and about 95 to 100% humidity. This is the lady who is the pastor's wife, as she's beginning to talk about the distribution taking place. The picture on the left, they've gotten their shoe boxes. They're waiting for the open. They do a countdown, like 3, 2, 1, open. And then on the right-hand side, they've been able to open their shoe boxes up now, and they're beginning to go through the boxes. These are some of the children that receive the shoe boxes. Now, I want you to take special note of the ones on the right. What they are looking at is this little booklet here. It's called The Greatest Gift. Every child that receives a shoe box gets a copy of this little pamphlet here called The Greatest Gift. And basically, it's their introduction to Jesus, because we all know that Jesus is the greatest gift. And so this kind of walks them through in sort of a cartoonish kind of a way that's friendly to the children about Jesus. Now, in the country, the Philippines, again, with English as their quote-unquote primary language, they would receive the English copy. It will be age or language appropriate, depending upon which country the shoebox happens to go to. The next one we went to was actually in Bohol Island. We had about an hour and a half ferry ride from Cebu Island out to Bohol Island. Again, this is the first time ever that shoeboxes have been distributed on this island. At this event, there was 200 children that had shown up. They'd been waiting for 2 hours for our team to arrive that day, and again, about 100-degree weather. Here they are again, sort of that same typical kind of a structure for the church. In this case, they had the chairs, and they're just all lined up waiting for the to receive their shoeboxes. Here they've gotten their books, they've gotten their shoebox, they're waiting for the open the box command. This little guy here on the right, he was so cute. He was just enjoying the moment. He was just kind of chilling out, just enjoying the moment that he was having. But notice the little boy on the left, what is he doing? Not looking at the shoebox, but he's looking at the book. He's looking at the book about Jesus. The little boy on the right, I like that picture because that's a handmade little wooden car. If you go on the Samaritan's Purse OCC webpage, if you can get on that, there's a man, and I think he's made like 100,000 of those little toy cars. And whenever he puts them in a shoebox, he always puts a little note along with it to the children. And I think he started out like making 100, for the local his church, and then he said, "Well, I've still got some wood left, so I'll just keep going." And he just kept making them and making them and making them. And I think he's up to like 100,000 of these things now he's made. But you can see how much fun this little boy was having with one of those cars. Here was the second one. It was on Bohol Island also. Again, 200 children. You can see some of the cracks in the facility there. That was due to the earthquake. They've kind of patched it back over now. This was the lady who was the pastor of that church. And again, that same kind of setting here. I think on the floor, they may have had chairs, some chairs. Here, they've just received their shoeboxes on the left, and they're waiting for the go sign on the right. They're beginning to open up their boxes again. There they are again, holding little pamphlets. There's another one. That little thing on the right-hand side, it's a little hard to see, but that's one of the modes of transportation in the Philippines. Basically, it's a scooter with a sidecar attached to it. And you'd be amazed how many people it could cram on one of those things. There's about 8 kids sitting on that thing right now, and that they would probably go ahead and use that and transport those kids if they needed to. This was back on Lapu-Lapu Island, which is near Cebu. Another day, this was 100 children, a little bit different setting. It was in more of a recreational kind of a building. Here they've gotten their shoeboxes, again, the Greatest Gift booklet. Here we are handing out some of the boxes as they open them up. Now, the lady in the picture on the right-hand side, this is Lee Fisher. Lee is actually on staff with Operation Christmas Child. She is the Mid-Atlantic Region Director, and so she's the one I report to as a volunteer. She's in charge of all the volunteers in the Mid-Atlantic Region, which pretty much the whole eastern, almost the whole eastern seaboard, Virginia, New Jersey, Maryland. She was actually on our team as one of the two OCC employees. These are two other volunteers that went with me, Debbie on the left. And Becky on the right, and the lady actually who was holding the child and holding the Greatest Gift book received a shoebox when she was younger. And so when she heard this event was going to take place, she wanted to bring her child so that they could in turn get a shoebox as well. Without a doubt, probably the most emotional and heart-wrenching of all the distributions we did was at the squatter community. It's a little hard to see in that picture there, but basically this is an alleyway that's maybe 8 feet wide, and there's 200 children packed in that shoulder to shoulder, 8 feet and about 60 feet deep, waiting that day, that afternoon for their shoeboxes. This is the poorest of the poor. Like I say, these are the people who have moved in basically as a squatter into a piece of government-owned land. They've set up this community, a lot of single parent families. They may only make $2 or $3 American money a day, which is hardly enough to subsist on at all. I don't have the picture in there. I had another slide that has some other pictures in there, but there were some children actually at this one that were doing some singing and everything, just like yours did a few minutes ago, prior to the distribution of the boxes. One of the great joys that I had in being able to go over there was I could take shoeboxes over with me to personally hand out. And so I had taken two over, one for a girl and one for a boy. This was a little girl that got mine. I don't have the time to talk about all the circumstances, but I wasn't able to personally hand her the shoebox. But I'm convinced that God put it into her hands. God knows what children need, which shoeboxes. Just amazing the stories that we hear of how shoeboxes end up in certain children's hands. But this little girl here on the right was the one that got the shoebox that I took over. These are some more. They're opening their shoeboxes up. Just look at the smiles and the joy that you can see even in the faces in these pictures. The little boy on the left was the little boy that got my shoebox. Again, I wasn't able to personally give him the shoebox, but again, I'm convinced that God got it into his hand. One of the ladies on the team that did happen to see him open the box up, that Lego thing was like way down the bottom. He had gone all the way through and picked that up, and come to find out, he likes Legos. So again, you know, God knew which of those little boys liked Legos and got it into his hands. And that picture on the right is sort of the typical what it looks like in a squatter's village. Give you some idea of the living conditions that those children are in. This is actually the greatest journey class. There's 30 children. Now, after the children receive the shoeboxes, as a follow-up, the pastors are able then to go and to speak to them about signing up for this program, which is called the Greatest Journey. And this hasn't really been promoted a whole lot until recent years. We were trying to get the word out a little bit more. People think about, well, they got the shoebox, and they open it up, and all well and good, and that's kind of it. But it goes far beyond that. The Greatest Journey is a 12-week discipleship program that the children volunteer to be a part of. And about halfway through the 12 weeks, they're given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then also they are encouraged to actually become disciples, if you will, to share Jesus with their friends, and there's some amazing stories of how children have gone out after they've completed this and have in turn brought in 10 or 15 or 20 of their friends to learn about Jesus into the churches in the communities there. It's just a tremendous thing. So this was a class that we had a chance to go to, and they were on actually lesson five that day. This is kind of out in the middle of a courtyard, but you can see the boys on the right, you know, they're looking at their lesson. They've been working on their lessons. There's some of the girls, a couple more of the boys that are going through their lessons. This lady has also, in this little community here where the class is being taught, has started a feeding program, again, to try to help some of the malnutrition that's there. And on Saturday, she feeds 100 children. This is all out of whatever resources she has available. This is, in that pot there, is sort of a chicken rice-ish kind of a dish. And so after the lesson was over, all the kids just kind of dispersed, and then they all came back, and they were carrying like a cup or a saucer or a bowl or anything that they could, and they all lined up real orderly, and then as they would go by, she would scoop out one scoop of this mixture into their container. And they would go somewhere off and sit down and eat it. There's a picture of a little boy there. On the right is one of the children lined up. Okay, so then when they finish the 12-week class, they get to go to a graduation. At the graduation, each of the children that have gone through the 12 weeks get a certificate like this, acknowledging that they've gone through the 12 weeks. And then also they get a copy, their own copy of the New Testament. Again, this would be language specific based on whatever language. This happens to be an English one. I have a Spanish one back at the house that also. But so they get their own Bible. And so this was there was 140 children that had gone through the 12-week program. discipleship program. And this was their, this was the pastor and his wife. And on the right, they're calling the names of the children and they're coming up and getting their certificate. These are a couple of the young ladies that had gotten their certificates and Bibles. You get a little bit of idea of how warm it was. The fellow on the right is also in the Mid-Atlantic region office. That darkish gray has perspiration. That was how hot it was. Only the Americans perspired. The kids were okay. This was another one of our volunteers that was in our team. Go back to the lady who was teaching the class. We always had prayer with the pastors or whoever when we... at the end of the day, and we asked her, what could we pray for on your behalf? And she said, would it be too much to pray for tables and chairs so I could better teach our children? Tables and chairs. Just think about that. Something that we take so for granted would have been like a gold mine to her if she could have had it, to be able to better teach your children. And that was a picture of at the end of the day with the different graduates and the pastor and his wife and their team and our team. So where do we come in? And really, the whole message of today has been, you know, where do we fit into the scheme of things in all of this? How can we be a part of making mission impossible, mission possible? 102 domestic Operation Christmas Children staff. If you're interested in being on staff with Operation Christmas Child, I would encourage you to contact or look at the website for that. But more than likely, you could become one of these, the 8,000 Connect volunteers. That's what I am. That's what Janet is. That's what the other 20 people are on my team. Throughout the United States, 8,000 different volunteers, year-round volunteers, that work all year in various capacities and ways of trying to get the word out about Operation Christmas Child. 40,000 National Collection Week volunteers. That's also where you all come in. As being a drop-off center, in just a few weeks, believe it or not, the third week in November, this facility is going to be opened up from the 17th to the 24th of November. And you can become a part of those 40,000 National Collection Week volunteers to be here at this facility and receive the shoeboxes from not only your church but from your community as individuals from all around here bring those shoeboxes in here. You all are a critical, vital link. You may not realize it, but without you being here as that drop-off center, as that relay center, it would make it very difficult for a lot of people and might even be a deterrent from someone packing a shoebox. Saying, well, you know, I don't want to go all the way to Pulaski to drop it off or all the way to, you know, Hillsville and drop it off. I just won't do one this year. But the fact that you're here makes it so much easier for people in this area in particular to bring the shoeboxes in. 60,000 processing center volunteers, and we've got two processing centers that are close, one in Boone and one in Charlotte. They also opened up one in Baltimore if anybody wants to go north for any particular reason. But this is an opportunity to work actually in a processing center. When your boxes leave here, they ultimately end up in Charlotte where they're processed, and next stop after Charlotte is into the hands of a child somewhere around the world. Who knows? Some of those boxes you've actually received through here may have ended up in the hands of children in the Philippines this year. 11,500 roughly boxes were packed last year in the New River Valley area alone. Our goal this year is 12,600. And so I certainly hope that you all will move in that direction. I brought about 25 shoe boxes this morning that I'm going to leave here for you. That'll be a start for you all in your shoebox packing. About 950,000 last year in the Mid-Atlantic region. Our goal this year is 1.1 million. That would be about a tenth of all shoeboxes collected around the world if we're able to do that. 7,500,000 boxes last year in the U.S. was collected, and about another 2 million around the world. There's other countries around the world that actually provide shoeboxes as well. How is this all possible? Because we're a part, and we have one awesome God. And if he was not supporting this ministry, I can guarantee you it would have failed long before now. 21 years, over 100 million shoeboxes have been collected. We don't want to wait another 20 years to hit the million, 100 million mark again. We want to do it in a whole lot quicker period of time because there are children who need to know about Jesus Christ and his love. And so I encourage you, pack a shoebox. When Janet puts out the request for sign up for the processing of the boxes here at Withville, sign up for that. Be a part of this ministry. It is a tremendous ministry. And I'll be around for a few minutes after if you have any questions you'd like to ask me. At this time, I'd like to ask if Janet would come up. If I can balance this thing. This is this plaque is being awarded to Withville Baptist Church. Let me just, if I will read it. It says, "For 10 years, thank you for your partnership. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to touch a child's heart with the love of Jesus Christ. Presented to Withville Baptist Church in appreciation of 10 years of partnership with Operation Christmas Child as an official drop-off location, Franklin Graham, President Samaritan's Purse." And Janet, thank you so much for your participation all the years and for Withville for your participation. And may God bless you, and let's pray for that 1.1 million and more shoeboxes this year.